You're touching people's lives. Thank you. You're suiting a blessing. You're putting your arm around people where it was needed. You're commissioning people where it is needed. You're encouraging. You're redeeming. You're saving. Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful name. What a wonderful name. What a glorious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Awesome. Thank you.
One of the great privileges of being a pastor is that people tell you when prayers are being answered. And every week I hear of marriages restored, of God answering prayer, of prophetic word changing people's lives, people being set free every single week. And it's because of the name of Christ. It's because of who Christ is. It's all about Jesus. I'm going to bring a mini sermon this morning as a way of introducing Susan from camp. And I'm just amazed at the goodness of God and the way that he tells me what the scriptures to preach on, how that works together with God's plan. I'm going to read you two scriptures, Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, and Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. And it's going to get really, really practical for just living holy lives. And we're going to look at how CAP release groups can help us in that. Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. So Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. Chapter 13, verse 1. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said, "You are now very old." That's not particularly encouraging. So the Lord said, "Joshua, you're now really old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over." Every now and then, friends, someone's going to come up to you and say something like, "I don't believe the Bible. Isn't it full of contradictions and mistakes and errors?" And when that happens, I'm inclined to do what we were trained to do by David Mann, ask him a question. "Oh, it's full of mistakes and contradictions and errors. Well, could you show me one?" And all my years of hearing people make that comment, I've never had somebody show me one. Never had somebody show me one. It's not full of errors and contradictions. When you study something in context and you study what was going on historically, there's no contradictions. It's perfect and it's alive and it challenges and helps and equips us for the future. But you might have heard what I just read. Joshua took the entire land. End of chapter 3, verse 1. There are still large portions of the land to be taken over. What's going on, Russell? Isn't that a contradiction? Isn't that one of these errors people talk about? No, it's not. It's not an error. Because when we look at it in context and historically, there's a principle here that paints a beautiful picture for each one of us. Now, I've said before to you, as we look through the book of Joshua, the book of Yeshua, or the book of Jesus, that all of the Old Testament is a picture of a New Testament principle. For every New Testament principle, theological thing, there's a story in the Old Testament that's real and it took place, but illustrates, it helps us understand something in the new. And these two verses certainly do that. You see, Joshua and the boys had won the war. The land of Canaan was under their rule. But God said, "Clean all the idol worshipping, child sacrificing people out of the land," and they hadn't. So they'd won the war, but God said, "You need to win the war, you need to clean it up and make sure there are no pockets of child sacrificing going on." All these horrible things the Canaanites did. They won the war and they rested. 7 years later, Joshua's now looking very old to God. He said, "Joshua, there's still areas of land that need to be cleaned up." What's happened? It's just like in World War II. World War II ended in 1945. VE Day, great celebrations. The battle is over. But in the Philippines, on a little island by the name of, Ligueto, a little island of Ligueto in the Philippines, there was a young imperial soldier there who was at war as a young man, stayed on at war. When VE Day took place and it was announced the war is over, he didn't believe it. In fact, he was told by his general, "You keep fighting till you die, mate." So on this little island in the Philippines, right up until 1974, he was fighting and killing people. The war was over. Some 29 years earlier, the war was over, the battle was won, the victory was taken, but there were pockets all over the Pacific of resistance. Growing up in Papua New Guinea, one of the things we used to love to do when we went to Wewak was go into little caves around the waterfront. There were caves and caves full of rusty guns and helmets, all Japanese Imperial Army stuff. It was brilliant, giant crabs, lots of things to play with. It was really good. But that's what happened. The war was over and there were still Imperial troops all over the Pacific fighting on. This guy took 29 years before he finally surrendered. In the meanwhile, he killed people, he kept fighting, he was still in his full military dress. He was still fully at war for 29 years. Did we win the war? Yes, we did. Were the pockets of resistance taken over? No, they weren't. And what happens is this. If you allow sin to stay, if you allow things like fear and anxiety or addiction or grumpiness or bad attitudes and selfishness, if you allow pockets of your life to remain, even though Christ has won the war for you, they're going to hurt people. They're going to hurt people. In Israel at this time, the battle was won. Amazing strategy. Battle in the south, split the land in two. Battle in the north, the war was won. But there were these child-sacrificing evil people who were not wiped out. The mopping up operation hadn't taken place. And it's the same for you and me. Man, when you come to Christ, when you're baptized, you are in Christ Jesus. Battle is won. Romans 6 says, there's no more power of sin over honey. She can choose to do something dumb. Hopefully she won't, but she has no more power to make her do that. The battle is won. She's in Christ. We fight from a position of victory. But if we allow those little pockets of resistance, those nasty things we say occasionally to family members or at the traffic island, that those selfish behaviors, that leaning on that substance or drink for comfort rather than leaning on Christ for comfort. If we allow little Canaanites to exist in our lives and we don't clean them out, I'll tell you what, people are going to get hurt. In Israel, because they allowed these Canaanites to exist, they were launching raids on the Israelites all the time. They were killing their children. They were attacking their crops. They were hurting the children of Israel. And I want to say to you, friends, if you allow fear, if you allow anxiety, if you allow those things which are not of God to stay in your life, yes, you're saved, yes, you're going to heaven, but people are still going to get hurt. God wants you to clean out the land, clean out the heart, clean out your life so you're completely His. Christ has won the war for you. You are positioned in Christ, and in Christ Jesus, you have a glorious inheritance here on earth. These people were given an inheritance. The land was divided up. It was theirs. We have a huge inheritance. The resources of heaven are available to us. But there's still practical work to be done. The Canaanites that have made their home in your soul need to be rooted out. It's not okay to do things that hurt people. It's not okay to act selfishly. It's not okay to act out of impulse or act out of addiction or out of fear. It's not okay. In our story, God told Joshua, Josh, you go back, old fella, finish the job you were meant to do years ago, clean them out. And the Holy Spirit would say to you and I, as Susan comes and speaks from CAP, there are ways in which God can clean us out today so we can walk in freedom. You'll go to heaven, heavens, of course you will. If you believe, you're baptized, you have the Holy Spirit, you'll go to heaven. But why not live in freedom and live in power now? That's what God called you to. That's what God made you for. I want to give you three reasons why you should battle the Canaanites. Three reasons why you shouldn't say, I'm okay with being grumpy at my kids, or I'm okay with leaning on the substance, or I'm okay with my gossip habit. Don't do that. And I'll give you three reasons why not to be okay with the Canaanites in your life. Number one, for your sake, you need to drive them out. If you allow these habits, these sins to take up residence in your life and become comfortable, they'll not only hurt you, they will hurt those around you. Drive them out. You know there's an issue there in your life, the problem in your life. Yes, you're a Christian. You're going to heaven. Something doesn't fit with the kingdom of God. It's not holiness. Make a serious, serious decision. Get rid of it. Get help. And we're going to talk about that soon this morning to get those things out of your life. So do it for your sake. Secondly, do it for heaven's sake. One day you'll stand before God in heaven. And if you're not only became a Christian, but you live from that position of victory and dealt with the Canaanites in your soul, you'll hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So not only for your sake, but for heaven's sake as well. And finally, for Christ's sake. It's often been said that you're the only Bible that most people are ever going to read. They're not going to pick up a Bible till God's got them and convicted them. It's going to start with you. It's going to start with me. They might have heard at some point that Jesus worked miracles and Jesus used to transform lives, but they look at you and me and we're carrying anxiety, we're carrying worry, we're carrying addictions, we're carrying selfishness and grumpiness and rudeness. They're going to go, "Wow, yes, Jesus was real. He was a great man, but he's got very old now. He's not doing much anymore." But if he looks at you and me and we've cleaned out the Canaanites and we've dealt with the issues that hold us back and pollute our lives and we've taken it head on, and they look at the power of God moving through us. They look at the love of Christ and the miraculous moving through us because we're free. We're made to be free. Then they know Christ. He's not old. He's not retired. There's a God that's alive and loves him very much. And their eyes will begin to open up toward him. So deal with the Canaanites for your sake, for heaven's sake, and for Christ's sake. But Russell, how do we do that? How do we do that? What are the tools to get that stuff out of our lives that ought not belong in a holy temple, in a holy life? I really believe that the release groups, and Sarah Barnett's going to come and introduce them to us in a minute, is a key to that. Here's one mechanism, one tool by which we can look at those things that ought not be there and say, "I'm not putting up with it. I'm not putting up with that pocket of Canaanites in my life. I'm not putting up with this attitude that I'm wrestling with. I'm not putting up with this habit which is ungodly. I'm going to deal with it." And here's a course and a mechanism by which God can use the release groups to set you free and to give the land completely back to God. I'm going to pray for you and pray for me. I've given you no how-tos at all this morning. I'm believing it's going to come through release groups. It's going to come through conversation. But it's going to start with a desire in your heart and my heart to say, "Thank you, God, for the victory. Thank you, Jesus, you did it all. But I want you to take the whole land. I want you to take all of me. I want you to take my thought, my attitudes, my finance, my behaviors, my habits. I want you to take all of me. I want you in the months here to mop up those Canaanites that ought not be there." Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray for you and pray for me. Then I'm going to hand across to Susan. And she's going to talk about a very practical tool that God can use to set us free and to keep us free. Father, we are living in Whangarei. And all around us are people who are interested in spiritual things. But they need to see the Bible in us. They need to see people who are full of love and freedom and power. Lord, for our sake, for heaven's sake and for their sake, we ask God that you would just give us a determination right now to identify those things in our life that ought not be there, that should have been cleaned out, those attitudes, those behaviors. And then, Lord, through release groups and through prayer and through relationship, set us free. But right now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you put in our hearts a determination to become completely holy and completely yours and completely free in Jesus' name. Please be seated, friends. Susan, would you come? I enjoy everything about CAP, you know, friends. They are the only community ministry outreach that I know of that's full on for the gospel and uncompromising about Jesus. Mm. Welcome, my sister.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you. Kia ora e te whānau. Ko rangatoutou toku maunga. Ko waitamata hauraki toku moana. Ko rangatoutou toku waka. Ko Kotirana toku iwi, ko Barrett toku hapu, ko Susan Mary Elizabeth toku ingoa. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. So, kia ora everyone. My name is Susan Mary Elizabeth Barrett. I am a second generation New Zealander, actually. I come from Scottish heritage. My grandparents immigrated to New Zealand on a steamship called the Rangitoto, which is quite special because the maunga, the mountain that I identify most with, is Rangitoto, in the middle of the Hauraki Gulf. So I was raised in Whangaparoa at Whangaparoa Baptist Church, which I'm seeing some familiar faces from, which is pretty exciting. So it's actually a real pleasure to be with you guys this morning. I have a strong Baptist heritage, and it's a real privilege to be with Baptist whānau this morning. I go to a little Baptist church now, Mangere Baptist, in South Auckland, and it's just a real joy to be in a space that's familiar. We even sing that song, Great Big God, in my church. So, yeah. And obviously as well, really excited for you guys and what you're stepping into with Release Group. Had a real pleasure to get to know Rob and Adrian just a little bit when they came down to Auckland for training. And from everyone at head office, about 45 of us now, we just want to say we're really excited about what you guys are doing. We're really excited about the transformation that this can have in our own lives and in the community around you guys and the work that you're doing. So I guess what I want to talk a little bit about today is CAP as an organisation. Some of you may have heard a little bit about CAP when Mickey was here previously. Did anyone hear Mickey share? Awesome. Yep. And I'm going to share a little bit more specifically about release groups and how it all works. So firstly, I just want to acknowledge that poverty, and especially poverty caused by dependencies, by addictions, by our unhealthy habits, it steals, it kills, and it destroys. Poverty steals our well-being. There are people in our communities, people in our families, people in this room, some of you know that's yourself, who are struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression, struggling with hope. These are actually the most three common words that CAP clients and members talk about when they first come to us. You might even be feeling this yourself. Poverty steals from us our relationships. It isolates us. It destroys lives. This is the space that Release Group serves. Through this new ministry, you guys are stepping into allowing Jesus into this space more and more with a gospel of truth that speaks to the lies of hopelessness, of depression, and anxiety. So, CAP was started in the UK about 20 years ago now, over 20 years, I think it's 22, by a man called John Kirkby. And he himself had actually lost everything in a financial collapse. At his lowest point, when he was crippled by debt, broken by his divorce, a pastor from a local church invited him to meet Jesus. And John decided to apply the knowledge of his own journey of getting out of debt to helping those who were also stuck in debt. This journey has taken him, obviously, throughout the UK, but now in multiple nations across the world, obviously us in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and most recently, CAP in the USA as well. So his journey is in a book called Nevertheless. Has anyone read that book? A few of you might have. Yeah, awesome. So I've actually got some copies with me today. I'd love to give them away for you. They are free, so please come and see us at the end if you would like a book. It's an amazing story. But in terms of CAP here in New Zealand, we're now 11 years old. We're partnering with local churches all the way from Kaitaia down to Dunedin. And at last count, and I think this is still accurate as of Friday, we're at 79 CAP ministries across the country, and that's not even including CAP money. About 150 churches are running CAP money across the country. So it's really exciting what the church is doing in this country and stepping into the space of poverty, bringing the gospel message. So I want to just give you a quick overview of the five main ministries of CAP. So I talked a little bit about CAP money. So I think there's a slide for this one. So the first one there is CAP Debt Help. We've actually got some debt help coaches with us in the room, Ricky and Marcel, if you give us a wave. These guys are from Elam, and they have been doing this work for a while now, walking with people out from unmanageable debt. It's a powerful ministry, seeing people become free, literally debt free in their financial journey. And obviously we've got CAP Money, which anyone heard of CAP Money before? CAP Money's been coming in Whangarei for a while now, so this is a 3-session money management course. And it's for anyone. You don't have to be struggling with money. It's for anyone who wants to learn a bit more skills about how to be really smart with what they're doing with their money. The next ones are what we call group services. So they are a course run over 8 weeks, 8 sessions, and we have 3 different kinds. So the first one is job clubs. I'd throw you a chocolate if you can guess what that's about. It's about helping find jobs, right? It's a great space to figure out what it's like to be in employment, to build confidence, to get to know some other people in the same space. And the next one is release groups, obviously, which you guys are going to be involved in. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And the last one is life skills, which is really about thriving on a low income. So those five services really quickly just encapsulate the work of CAP. These services are running all over the country in different areas, and really exciting what's coming out of them. So in terms of release group, I really just want to share, I guess, a little bit more specifically about how that looks. So release groups are for anyone who's struggling with a habit that's having a negative effect on their life. So that might look like some of the Canaanites, personally, that we know we need to deal with. It might be really obvious to those around us, something like a substance dependency. Or it might be something that we've kept hidden in secret, something that actually maybe our family doesn't even know about. If we think about, in our hearts, not going to ask you to raise your hands, something that you know is not good for you and you've tried to stop, but you haven't been able to and it's still an issue. Those are the kind of things I'm talking about. And those are the kind of things we're looking at release group. And it goes the opposite way too. I'm sure we can all think of something that we know is really good for us that we've struggled to start, right? For me, it's exercise. I know it's good for my mental health. I know it's good for my physical health, but still, you know? So these kinds of things about building a wholeness in our mind, in our heart, in our body, in our family, in all of these spaces, this is what release groups is about. So, in terms of how it works, we'll go to the next slide. There are five C's. So, the first one is community. So, release groups brings people into the room to talk about something which actually we probably all have in common, right? To take a moment and really be honest with ourselves about what's been happening. Because sometimes we lie to ourselves, right? Sometimes admitting it to ourselves is the hardest part. And the first session is actually called owning it. But not only that, there's a freedom that comes in being honest with those around us. And community spaces that are safe allow us to bring things into the light that have been in darkness. But not all of that is appropriate for group settings, right? So we also have another C, which is coaching. So this is opportunity for one-on-one conversation. This is where we can be praying together, where we can really talk about what's brought us to be where we are today, where we can really be befriending someone, getting to know them, walking alongside people in a really deep way. The next one is confidentiality. So if we're talking about this in a group setting and we're also talking about this in a coaching setting, we really need to know that that information is safe, right? So we prioritize this at release group in a similar way to the 12 steps. What's talked about in release groups stays in release groups, unless safety is involved. So it's really important that it's a safe place, and we prioritize that confidentiality. The next one, of course, is course, right? So we talked about the 8 weeks and the 8 sessions. So there's a workbook, and we work through 8 topics. So the first one I mentioned was owning it, right? There are topics about identifying our triggers, identifying our habits, about setting goals, about specific experiences we may be having, such as anger, such as anxiety. So the course content is really what we're basing our conversation around for those 8 weeks. And the last one is celebration. Now, I've been along to a release group, and I can tell you, celebration is an essential element of release group. Because some of the stuff is really tough, eh? It's really hard. And sometimes just showing up to release group is worth celebrating. And so we make a big deal about celebrating the milestones that people are achieving. If this is the first time you've ever told anyone about this, this is the first time you've ever admitted it to yourself, we want to ring a bell, we want to give you a lolly, we want to celebrate you in the group. Make a big deal, because this is actually, these steps that we're taking are us rooting out the Canaanites. That is what we're doing when we take these little milestones. And it's not just about that. It might also be 24 hours sober for the first time. It might be I was smoking a pack a day, now I'm only smoking a pack a week. It might be something really concrete like that. It might be instead of exploding in anger, I went for a walk. It might be instead of overeating today, I gave my friend a call and I distracted myself. So there are lots of things that we celebrate in release group. So I want to show you just a quick video from John Kirkby, the guy I mentioned earlier, around release groups. And he's sharing a little bit of the journey in the UK about release groups. And we're actually very much in the process of having a New Zealand video, which is exciting. But at this stage, I'm going to show you John Kirkby's one. As the founder of CAP, it's really great to hear from him. So over to you guys.
You've no idea about people's past from what they look like. I was destitute, poor, living in one room with two kids on camp beds. I was struggling to feed them, hounded by debts, struggling with drink. I was a violent guy, poor relationships. I mean, it didn't get much worse. It was the church and the people in that church that completely changed my life. People change people.
So we're going to look first at who are we? So who do I think I am?
Creating the group around dependencies and addictions is all part of the process of these release groups. You can't solve this on your own, which is where the group dynamic really, really works.
I'm now 8 weeks basically just knowing that I can stop if I want to stop.
There could be somebody sat there who says nothing for 2 hours, but in those 2 hours, their entire life has been laid bare.
Socially, I was just locking myself away, but now not at all. And I feel a lot more better in myself, and I'm well pleased with it.
We are creating opportunities for the church to establish these groups.
I'd say that I'm an inspiration to others.
Our course is a book. A book never changed anybody. But in the hands of a person with a heart for others, with an opportunity to create true community and honesty, there lies the key of transformation in people's lives.
All right, John, thanks for coming. Thanks. Coming back next week?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Great stuff. See you later.
I love it when he says, a book never changed anyone, people change people. Because it's true, eh? We can have all the fancy tools and all the fancy words, but it's journeying together that brings transformation. It's inviting the Holy Spirit into our community together as we discuss the tough stuff that really brings transformation. So I guess my question for you guys this morning is, Rob and Adrian are all set, they're ready to go, they're counting down. And what are you guys going to be a part of in this? How are you guys going to get involved? And so there's a few different ways, actually. And I want to put this out to you as a brainstorm. I think sometimes what we do when we're trying to get involved with things is we're kind of waiting for this light bulb from heaven that's calling us profoundly to something. Can I encourage you in this, that just a conversation with Rob and Adrian or myself might be the starting place? And there's lots of different ways that you guys as a church can get in behind what they're doing to support this kaupapa. So, I mean, a huge one here is to serve, right? A group of people are going to be coming together. There will be practical needs. Do you have a lawnmower that you don't mind going around to someone's house and blessing them by cutting the lawns? Are you a baker? I'm sure there's some great cooks in the room. Food is hugely healing. We all know this. So that is a really amazing part that people in church communities can serve. Getting to know someone, being a friend, is a profound gift to someone who is lonely, right? I know there are people in this room who would love to be able to just say hi, get out of their comfort zone a little bit, and make a new friend. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, man, I've journeyed with Jesus for a while and I've learned some amazing things in my faith and I would love to be able to pass them on to someone. Is there someone I can get alongside and disciple? And of course, there is always an opportunity to give. We at Christians Against Poverty never want to have to say no to someone who needs our services. And at this time, CAP services cover about half the country in terms of coverage. We would love to grow. All our services are free to those who are coming along, but they do cost to run. So I'd love you to think about what it might be like to give towards the wider work of Christians Against Poverty. That is, of course, over and above what you might be giving here to your local church. So if you are interested in that way of getting involved and supporting, there is a form on your seat. There is maybe a pen somewhere close to you as well. I'd love you to have a look at that form, give us your details, and share about how you'd like to give. Of course, I do have the Nevertheless books at the back as well. So I guess the only other thing to think about is that you might like to come along to release group. You might be sitting here going, yeah, you know what? I've really identified something. When you asked me about that thing, I couldn't stop. Something popped to mind. You might like to be coming along. And so can I encourage you, if it feels big, bring a friend. Can I encourage you to think about what it might be like to come with somebody else that you're supporting in their journey. So there's lots of ways that you can do that. You can just show up on the day, but we'd love you to get in touch with us in advance as well. So we have a free phone line, which would come down to us at head office, and then we'd be able to put you in touch with Rob and Adrian. You're, of course, in the same room with them right now, so if you wanted to reach out to them, that would be fine. So the group is starting very shortly on the 25th of June. That's a Tuesday evening. There's going to be some food involved. I know that will be drawing some of you in. And if you do need a hand with transport or babysitting, please do let Rob and Adrian know, because they would love to support you in that too. So I guess of all those gamut of ways that you could get involved, my encouragement is that we actually just take a minute right now and just allow some breathing space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us about what might be appropriate for you. So I'm just going to leave some silence, and then I'll close in prayer. Holy God, we know that we need you. And Lord, right now we just want to invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and show us, even right now, this week, what you're asking of us in this space. Maybe it's a little outside of our comfort zone. Lord, we need to know deep in our hearts, deep in the corners of the pieces of us, where those Canaanites are, Lord. We want to surrender them to you. We want to give them to you. We've tried to fix ourselves, but it's pretty hard. So, Lord, we want to surrender to you and invite you to come and change us, to transform us. And in that, Lord, we trust you. We trust that you'll be gentle with us. And that the work you've started in us, you will bring to completion. Thank you, Jesus, that we belong to you. Thank you that you gave everything for us to be free. Help us walk in that. In your mighty name, amen. So I'd love to invite Rob and Adrian to come up, and potentially those of you who are in eldership or in leadership here to come and pray as well. We'd really love for this to not just be kind of a physical preparation of sorting the venue and sorting the food, but also a spiritual preparation. What's going on here is significant. And so this morning, praying for these guys is a spiritual exercise of you as a congregation supporting, getting in behind, and saying, yep, we support this kaupapa, we support this goal, this purpose that we are setting aside as a church to invest in. And so we're just going to take a few minutes. I encourage you, however you guys express it as a church, whether you want to stand, do you guys stand? I'd love you to stand with us, just as an expression of support. And I'll invite you guys to pray, and I'll close.
Thank you for what you have placed on Rob and Adrian's hearts, Lord, for the burden, for the love, for the training that you've poured into them. And Lord, we dedicate them to this purpose of assisting in CAP release groups. Lord, we pray that you would fill them with your Spirit as they do this task. Lord, that you would give them particular wisdom and particular understanding, that your Holy Spirit would just pour your grace upon them. Lord, that you would fill them with joy as they see the amazing effects that it has on the lives of those who come along. So, Lord, we bless them, we set them apart, and we thank you for their lives in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Rob and Adrian. We thank you that they've stepped forward to run this CAP program. Lord, we just pray that your hand will be on those people that desperately need this help. We pray that you will put in them the courage to come along to this group, that their lives may be transformed. We just pray that you be with Adrian and Rob and show them the right words to say and the right way to lead these people. So through this, they will come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ. And we just praise and thank you for this program and everyone that is willing to step forward and help transform people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you that down through the years you've used Rob and Adrian in virtually every capacity in the life of a church. They've passed it in church, they've passed it in the community. And there was a real sense that this is a new season and a new stretching and a new harvest field ahead. So, Father, we just agree for your anointing on them. We agree, Lord, that you particularly anoint and bless their relationship skills and that capacity to discern what you're saying and who you're touching and how to build a relationship with those people. Father, we ask you to surround them with a good team. And that, Lord, this season ahead will be full of joy, full of fun and full of fruitfulness. Father, we stand with them in agreeing that Canaanites are not to be trespassers in our church or in our community. And we stand with them agreeing, Lord, through prayer and through action support, that, Lord, there'll be much gain for your kingdom. We gain back territory that the enemy's taken. And, Lord, your kingdom will be extended through this ministry. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, we just...
This day the Lord has made, and we rejoice
Amen.
And are glad in it.
Amen. We agree.
Thank you. Yeah, Lord, we just want to say, hide in my Holy Spirit, come into this whole process, come into every part of this, come to that first session, come to that first phone call, come to that first pickup of someone from their home. Be present in every single aspect of this work. Lord, speak to us, change us in this process, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We trust you. We ask that you would use this through your mighty power and your mighty name. Amen.